The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. We're joined now by Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the Health Service Executive. Thank you for joining us today, Paul. Can you first tell us about the number of new daily confirmed COVID cases?
Good evening, Matt. Nice to talk to you again. Yeah, look, the significant concern from what we're seeing, certainly yesterday, almost 800 cases. Today, we're just waiting on the 100% confirmed, but it'll be just about 1,000 cases confirmed for today. So what we are seeing this week is a very significant acceleration rise of the case numbers. Forecasting did predict that we could be seeing 1,000 cases per day, you know, by the end of this month. So we certainly are seeing the transmission levels higher in the community now and positivity level higher.
And what are you putting that down to?
I think there's a range of factors. First of all, what we are seeing is the cases and transmission levels extremely high with Delta. So we do know this is twice as transmissible as we were with what we were dealing previously. So Delta variant, much more transmissible. So that's firstly. Secondly, where we are seeing a lot of social contacts increasing, so people having more contacts, which is understandable because the economy has opened up. So we're seeing, you know, cases breaking out in workplace settings and social gatherings. So a range of settings that we know. And certainly what we are seeing the cases, and on a positive note, if we can take it from the cases at the minute, if you look at them for the last 2 weeks, 87% of the cases are below the age of 45. So it's only 13% above 45. If you go back to January, February, the average age is 27 of caseloads at the moment. If you go back to January, February, 40% of the cases were above the age of 45 and the average age is 40. So what we do know, and your listeners should take great confidence in, the vaccination program is working and having a great effect for those who are fully protected. The risk that we have right now of what we're seeing with these rising levels is the number of people who are not fully protected right now. And that's part of our strategy to get as many protected
but
as soon
Paul,
as we can.
Would that suggest, though, that the absolute number of cases is no longer as important? Because in previous waves, such as the one earlier in this year, we had an awful lot of vulnerable, unprotected people because we didn't have the vaccinations at that stage. Now we have younger people who are in better health, maybe being infected, but perhaps better able to fight off the infection, less likely to end up in hospital or die.
It's a very reasonable point to make, and it is a factor. So thankfully, yes, as we're seeing the caseloads, not those vulnerable people who we have got to protect. So the elderly population, people in nursing home residents, people at high risk of medical vulnerabilities, we have protected those. So yes, that is something that should give us confidence. However, what we do know is, and we are beginning to see some hospitalizations of younger people, the impacts of long COVID in younger people are very significant. So it's not that we can take our attention off because they're younger cases. Two things may happen. Firstly, we could see increased hospitalizations of younger people. Secondly, we do know, and watching closely in what's happening in the UK, in particular in other European countries, it can get to a level in the community where it then starts to put those people who are fully protected more vulnerable, because we know there's not 100% protection against getting the virus. It's certainly, if you're vaccinated fully, you have a higher level of protection against hospitalisation or ICU. So it is that risk factor. You are correct, and it is a different scenario we're dealing with because we're going into this wave or this surge in a much different way with a better defence line from our vaccinations. But that doesn't take away the risk that currently exists.
Yeah, because I just had the formal statement from ENFIT handed to me. It says 994 confirmed cases today, as you suggested earlier. But there's just 80 COVID-19 patients in hospital, 22 in ICU. Can I put to you that those are manageable figures?
Yeah, and if they remain like that, Matt, they would be. If you look at what's happened in the last 3 weeks, we've gone from a very low base, thankfully, of hospitalised COVID patients of 38 to 80 this week. And this week alone, we've gone from 60 to 80. And COVID in ICU, we've gone from 13 to now, actually, as I look at my data, it's 22. So the issue is the trend that's beginning to emerge. The percentage of cases that we're watching in the UK and Scotland in particular that transmit into hospitalisations is running about 2 to 3%. If we start getting up to high case loads of 6, 7, 8,000, 400 than that a day, you know, that is a significant percentage can turn into hospitalisation. So So my message just on that one is, look, public should take good confidence. We are going into this surge or this wave in a different, with a different defence line, which is our vaccination programme. But there is significant risk out there right at the moment. And particularly my call is to people who aren't vaccinated. Really do protect yourself in the coming days and the coming weeks. What you do in terms of how you socially gather, how you mix, is important. And, you know, people have, young people do contract this virus and do suffer some impacts of long COVID.
Some people want to know as well, of the numbers that you have been hospitalised at the moment, are the numbers who are getting confirmed cases of COVID-19, do you know what percentage have already been vaccinated?
You know, I don't have the full details and we're just getting that of all, but it's a very low, I can assure you of your listeners again that it is a very low percentage. It's if what we haven't seen this week, if you take the caseloads coming through this week, and over the past 10 days or so, about 5% of the cases that we are seeing coming through are from people who are vaccinated. But we haven't seen hospitalizations from those cases. So that's a positive thing for us to take away from it. So getting back to your point, you are right. The single point of just counting caseloads is not the same measure as it was probably in January and certainly as it was last year. So we have to look at a range of factors and we'll have to look at hospitalizations and watch that carefully. But, you know, it is a very, very early warning for us that we are going to see high transmission levels.
Talking about things changing, how concerning is it to see that people are now getting different symptoms as a result of COVID, which may make it harder for them, given what they have been told over the last 18 months, to understand that they have COVID?
Yeah, and that, even if you think back to the first wave, Matt, that case definition as it's described, how we describe the symptoms, has changed throughout the last 16 months, whether that's through a variant or just the different levels that the virus is in the community. So it is, yeah. So if you see what people are experiencing now, what we're hearing from GPs in particular is, you know, sore throat, runny nose in the early stages. So not symptoms that people would have identified earlier on with COVID. So we would say to anybody who has symptoms and look at our site on hse.ie, just look at the symptoms it listed, and you know, do seek a referral, do seek a consultation with your GP, or indeed we can now through our centres have the facility to do it online and seek a test. So yes, the symptoms have changed, and it is a message for everybody to watch that carefully.
But Paul, if the numbers go up, I mean, I suppose the fear is that we would have a situation that you had previously where you're overwhelmed with cases. Now, the numbers are nowhere near that as yet, but how well prepared are you to be able to deal with greater numbers of COVID cases and continue to provide all of the other services and care in hospitals as you should be doing?
Yeah, and look, if you take the great work that public engaged with us throughout January, February, those awful dark days, nobody wants to go back to days when we had 2,020 people in hospitals. 212 people with COVID alone in our ICU. They were dark days that just took so much of our healthcare workers, so nobody wants to go back to that. Specifically in terms of where we are, how we prepare, we've obviously got back to non-COVID care quite significantly over the last few weeks, and we want to continue it. We see our emergency departments busier now, up about between 15 and 20% busier than they were in 2019, an equivalent year before COVID. So a lot of people are coming back who've probably not come forward, a lot of frailty, a lot of elderly people coming back with particular frailty requirements coming to ED. A lot of people will have delayed their presentations coming forward. A lot more sporting activity, holiday activity, people going walking, climbing. So we're busier and we're also getting back to elective care. So we want to be able to protect non-COVID care as well. The way we do that, and in summary terms, Matt, to go back to your question, how are we preparing for it, is we have been impacted cyber attacks. So some things like GPs having direct access to diagnostics was hit. That's been restored, and that should give GPs greater access to diagnostics rather than people having to come to the emergency department. Our outpatients, a lot of outpatients being carried out outside of the hospital now. We will look to the private hospital agreement should we need to increase more capacity. We have increased our ICU capacity during the last phase as well. We are looking at community intervention teams, so ways of treating people outside of the hospital and not necessarily within the hospital.
Okay, just a couple of things to finish up with you, Paul Reid. We have the Chief Medical Officer, Tony Holohan, suggesting that parents who are vaccinated shouldn't bring unvaccinated children to indoor dining, even if it is allowed. We're hearing today that now the government is giving further consideration to allowing indoor summer camps and communions and confirmations to go ahead. Would that worry you?
Look, I think the reality of what we've experienced the past 16 months, we often search, all of us, for clarity and complete kind of black and white. And the reality of it is it isn't like that. So this issue around indoor and outdoor is definitely a factor. We know indoors is higher risk. But sometimes it's hard to compare one location, so an indoor restaurant versus an outdoor setting for a meal. Yes, you would lean and think outdoors is more safe, but sometimes the protection levels that the industry put in inside are quite strong. And so, you know, you may be at risk if an outdoor setting isn't well protected and an indoor one is. So it's very hard to be just black and white in these scenarios. And people do have to take personal risk assessments.
And what about travel? Because non-essential travel isn't permitted at present or isn't encouraged. But there's clearly a lot of people have gone on holidays and have brought the virus back from Spain and Portugal with them. And some of them are quite sick. How do you feel about the reopening from the 19th of July? I mean, if vaccinated people bring unvaccinated children with them, would you worry that that has the potential to bring further surge in the virus back to Ireland with them?
I think, look, frankly, travel is still a risk factor. We're seeing about 10% of our cases over the last week, 10 days, are related to travel. And you are seeing some people who are coming sick and, you know, not just the sickness levels, but the impact of them, you know, not being able to travel in some cases back. It is a risk factor. Travel most certainly isn't what the cases that we're seeing. This is an EU-wide led process at all stages where everybody was building up to the 19 to facilitate travel across the EU and our certificates support that. So, you know, it is a risk factor, but it's 10%. We've other risk factors here alone that are very significant too as well. And that's where our call to the public today, and my call to the public is, you know, those who aren't vaccinated in particular, really do protect yourself in the next few days.
One final one, Paul Reid, and this might be quite niche, but it is an interesting one from a listener who says she's a nurse who is going on holidays, fully vaccinated, but wants to know, will she be allowed to return to work immediately on return from her holidays? Or do people, even though they're vaccinated, are they required to self-isolate before returning to work?
No, I'm not certain if the patient said, but the guidelines are very clear. If you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and you have your certificates and you travel, if you come back with requirements, and people have to look at the country that they're going to for their requirements too. But if you're fully vaccinated, the rule is supportive of travel, but you should be careful of what country you're traveling to and check their conditions too.
But be able to go back to work afterwards on returning home?
Oh yeah, that's not a restriction per se on people.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the Health Service Executive.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.